You're listening to Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, joining us on the BetDSI.com inside line. He's the host of the Luke Thomas Show on Sirius XM Rush 93. Also, contributor at MMA Fighting. He's Luke Thomas. What's going on, Luke?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thank you for having me.
Hey, appreciate you taking some time with us, buddy. So, in the aftermath of Khabib and Conor, and hey, let's start brawls because, you know, that's fun. Both of these guys get the temporary suspension from the Nevada State Athletic Commission, and then they're going to get a hearing, and then they're going to determine how long they're really going to get suspended. What do you expect to happen here as, you know, Khabib's going into the crowd and blasting people? Conor started up the cage and then came back down. What do you expect for both of these guys? I mean, is there any precedent for something like this?
Well, I mean, boxing has had stuff like this all the time, right? You got guys literally parachuting into a ring.
Sandman.
Right. You know, melees at press conferences, Lennox and Tyson, you know, where he says he's going to eat his heart and his children. This is, you know, people have said it's WWE, and I don't watch pro wrestling, so I can't tell you if that's true, but I do watch a lot of boxing.
It's true.
This ain't the first time I've seen something like this. Now, for MMA, if that's what you're asking, it's a little bit unusual. There was the famous Strikeforce Nashville brawl, but that still happened inside the cage. No one spilled out of it into the arena. So in that sense, it's a little bit unusual. It, you know, what is the Nevada Athletic Commission going to do? It's the same thing they always do for stars. Like, regulation in MMA is important because it does provide a modicum of oversight. But the reality is their job is to serve the interests of the state. And so as a consequence, they'll punish them enough to make a show of it without deterring promoters from wanting to bring business to their state. So what exactly that will be, 6 months, 9 months, a year, I don't know. I doubt it'll be a year. It'll be just enough to make them look good, not enough to make people not want to come back.
It makes sense. I mean, the weird part to me is that Khabib still hasn't gotten paid. I mean, is he going to get paid? How long are they going to hold up his money?
They'll pay him. I mean, I suspect they'll take. Now, that's the one area where they might hammer him a little bit in terms of a financial penalty. They tend to go a little heavy on that. In terms of suspension, though, they rarely ever do anything of any kind of note, at least to the stars. So, yes, he will get, you know, obviously the majority of his money back, whatever they want to take, a couple hundred grand they might take from him, I think, maybe a quarter mil they might take. After that, they'll give it back to him. So, no, they're not going to hold his purse forever. That would be extremely unusual.
Now, Khabib has, you know, kind of gone on the offensive here with UFC. It's almost like he's pointing at them and blaming them for, you know, Nevada holding up his purse. And threatening that if UFC gets rid of one of the guys on his team, Zabara Tukagov, that he would up and quit the organization. Now, Tukagov was supposed to fight Artem Lobov, and now that fight is scrapped. And I know Khabib likes to say, hey, this all goes back to Conor throwing dollies at the bus and injuring people, but does it actually go back to Khabib and his team trying to corner Lobov in a hotel room, isolating him and going after him? And does it kind of go back to that? Does it go back further?
You know, it's a really interesting question. You know, what does this all stem from? Technically, you're right. This really got started with Artem being cornered in a hotel. But then you have to ask yourself, well, why would Khabib do that? Well, Khabib did that because in an interview, remember, Artem Lobov, I think, resides in Ireland and is Conor McGregor's best friend, but is natively Russian, speaks with a Russian accent, and obviously is fluent in Russian, and did an interview in Russian media where he said some pretty unkind things about Khabib. That was what that confrontation was about. So, again, everyone is praising, or at least some people have, you know, mixed feelings about Khabib jumping out of the cage to defend his religion and country and family's honor. But that's sort of what he was doing, to a degree anyway, when he confronted Artem for making comments about him being cowardly and things like that. Again, for those guys, it's not a game, man. They're not out here playing with you. So you say something like that, those are quite literally fighting words. Is that a proper way to go through life? I would argue it's not, especially if you want to be a professional athlete. But again, we're talking about these different clashes of culture here and how everyone navigates that space.
Now, that fight between Tukhugov and Lobov has been canceled. Should that fight have been canceled? I mean, like, to me, I almost want to see that fight more now.
God, you know, that's what Daniel Cormier said, too. And Artem Lobov took to Twitter, and he said, oh, let's put that fight back on. Man, I don't know how you do that without major, major, major security presence. Because you got to remember, it's not just the fight itself or backstage on the night of the event. Those guys have to check in on Fight Week on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, they have press events. And Thursday, they have more press events. And then Friday, they have their weigh-ins, which means you're going to have heavy security for all of that. And they're not going to be fighting on a major card. They're going to be fighting on a smaller card in a smaller arena with a smaller police presence and a smaller amount of UFC staff. That changes the dynamics of things completely. So it's like, look, if that's what's required to keep Khabib and people want to see the fight, as you have noted, then I think you find a way to do it, but you can't put it on that little card that it was on. You need to put it in a place and a time where you have the resources there to make sure nothing gets out of hand, because that's not easy. They have a lot of interaction, not just those two fighters, all of their camps. You have to be very, very careful.
You know, they got a date coming up November 3rd at Madison Square Garden, my old hometown. That'd be a perfect place to put it. Yeah, you're certainly going to have plenty of security in New York.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. I actually think that might be a bad place to put it, right? Why? Because you Irish will travel. They support Artem as one of Conor's friends, and there are a ton of Russians in New York City. In fact,
oh, yeah?
I think one of the – remember this. That fight was rumored to be the original McGregor versus Nurmagomedov fight was rumored to potentially be taking place in New York City. Conor McGregor said he wanted that fight in New York City for that very reason. The UFC decided for a lot of reasons, not strictly for security. There were other financial considerations in place that they weren't going to put it there. Man, that is a dangerous spot. You got to put it in neutral territory, like a Dallas, Texas, or Atlanta, Georgia, or something like that.
Yeah, in New York City, you got a huge Irish population. Man, almost the entire town of Forest Hills is almost all Russian.
Right.
So, I mean, you'd get a great turnout for that. But
sure.
that's a big card with a ton of security, you know, big stage. Everything is there for you to, you know, if they're going to try to capitalize on this beef between Khabib and Conor, man, that would just be it's all right there, just waiting for the money.
I know, and I thought they should have put the first fight there, but I'm just telling you guys, man. Look how fast it's spilled out of control. Like the authorities in Las Vegas did a pretty admirable job trying to contain that fire. But and look, the cops in New York, NYPD, hey, some of the best in the country.
They're getting tased, dude. They're getting tased.
Yeah, but I mean, you'd be earning your paycheck that night, too.
You sure would. Talking with Luke Thomas, SiriusXM, Rush 93, host of Luke Thomas Show, MMA on SiriusXM, MMAfighting.com, with us on the BetTSI.com inside line. All right, so Luke, Daniel Cormier took this short title fight, short notice fight against Derek Lewis, which, I mean, I know it's short for DC, but Derek Lewis just fought. You know, he's not even getting 30 days in between fights. Why the rush on getting these two guys in? Like, why couldn't they fight in December? Why do they have to fight? I mean, Derek Lewis is going to fight 27 days after he fought. Why do they have to fight so soon? And, you know, Derek Lewis said Daniel Cormier pretty much said, hey, I took the fight because it's Lewis and, you know, his cardio kind of sucks and I wouldn't have taken it against somebody else, but I'm going to take it against this guy.
Right. I mean, you got it exactly right. Here's what I can tell you. There's no good, listen to my words carefully, there's no good reason for this fight to happen, right? Good reason. I mean, there's reasons this fight is happening, but none of them are good. To your point, look at the beating that was taken by Derek Lewis. Yes, he won in the end in spectacular fashion against Alexander Volkov at UFC 229. His Instagram followers ballooned overnight. He's at 1.2 million now. He had just a fraction of that before. Made a name for himself with his hilarious post-fight antics, but he took over 70 shots to the head and over 170 total to his body. That is not somebody I would consider to be a candidate for a turnaround fight. Number one. Number two, I don't think it's that big a deal that he's getting a title shot. He has won 9 of 10 at heavyweight. but I don't know that he's the consensus number one contender as well. Even Derek Lewis saying another guy, and Stipe Miocic, the former champion, should have gotten it. But the reality is this, guys. MSG is expensive to rent, Madison Square Garden. And I think the UFC thought they were going to get John Jones, and that fell through. And I think the UFC thought, well, we might get Nate Diaz bumped up to a main event, and that fell through. Then they tried to book a women's flyweight bout, which would have been dead on arrival as a pay-per-view attraction. A fine fight, but not to sell for extra money on pay-per-view. So they had to get desperate. It's just a reality. Daniel Cormier even said his hand was going to make him ineligible to compete on this card, but he's going to find a way to work through it because the UFC needs him. I wouldn't call it an easy fight, but one where he is the prohibitive favorite, I think is a fair way to put it, and they're just out of options. Here's the answer. No good reason, but beggars can't be choosers.
So they had a card that they got to save, basically, is what it is.
Look, here's the reality about this. They have too many cards. They have too many cards. And whether it's a USADA infraction or an injury or fighters don't want to get along or they're not going to say yes, they don't have enough, not so much on the roster in terms of a piece of paper, but they don't have enough fighters at the ready to sustain that kind of schedule. Right? The UFC does not work the same way as boxing in a lot of ways. One of them is this. The UFC's front office people will pick cities and dates and then go tell the matchmaking crew to fill in. You know, for example, like Deontay Wilder will fight in places in boxing that make sense for his audience. Same with Adrian Broner. I live in D.C. Lamont Peterson will fight close to home so you can attract a hometown audience. You'll have two guys who fight in a city they have nothing to do with just because that's the way it's built. And they've got this weird mismatch they always have to account for. And two, they've got an insane schedule. They've got 12, 13 pay-per-views. They owe a certain amount of the Ultimate Fighter. They owe a certain amount to the Contender Series. They owe a certain amount to Fox Sports 1. And they just don't have enough in terms of keeping ratings high or pay-per-view buys coming in. Yes, this past weekend was a smashing success, no doubt about it, and I was happy to see it. But to me, the real issue is here, if you're scrambling 3 weeks out to fill a Madison Square Garden card, you know, there's something really wrong here. You don't have enough guys at the ready. They need to pare it down.
Now, and one of the other things that's come up is apparently Dustin Poirier is not going to fight. He's got an eye injury, and he's backing out of the fight against Diaz. Are they going to be able to find another opponent to put in there against Nate Diaz?
No, he's off. He's not going to do it. And, in fact, this is what really worries me about the whole thing and what I'm so bummed about. I don't know what's going to get Nate Diaz back. Right, Nate Diaz is not just going to fight any old lightweight. He's not going to fight any old welterweight. He's not going to fight any old guy. It's got to be somebody special. It's got to be somebody important. It's got to be somebody worth his while. You could say, oh, man, Nate Diaz versus Justin Gaethje. What a fun fight that would be. Yeah, but Justin Gaethje has losses to Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier. Why would Nate Diaz fight him? You could say, what about Eddie Alvarez? They have some beef, Nate Diaz and them. But I don't even know if he's going to be fighting in the UFC anymore. Dustin Poirier, maybe they could run it back. I'm being told by sources close to him that he might only be out 2 months. We'll see. So maybe they could do that. But then Kevin Lee's got a fight. Ally Aquinta's got a fight. Tony Ferguson just won. Does he want to fight Anthony Pettis, who just lost? So who's he going to fight? You know, it's like you could say, well, I prefer fighters who just say, I'll fight whoever. And so do I, man. None of us love anything more than a guy who just says, Name a date, name a time, name an opponent, I'll be there, I don't care. But Nate Diaz isn't that guy. He's trying to maximize his popularity. He's trying to maximize on the time he has left in his career. And I'm sure he will come back. I just have no idea against who or when.
Lou Thomas, the host of Lou Thomas Show on Sirius XM, Rush 93, MMA on Sirius XM. Also, you can follow him at MMAfighting.com. Where he does a lot of work there. Follow him on Twitter at L Thomas News. It's L Thomas News. Luke, lots of great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking some time with us today. We will catch you up soon.
Anytime, guys.
All right, Luke Thomas, SiriusXM, MMA, MMAfighting.com. Our guest lines are sponsored by BetDSI.com. Use promo code NATION25. Get a $25 free wager today. Get all the plays on the inside line. BetDSI.com.